Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got a dynamic hour for you. If you're a pet lover, then you're going to love the guest that I have this afternoon. Before we go to that guest, though, I want to remind you the phone lines are always open in the latter part of the show. We have an international toll-free number of 877-876-5227. Should you want to call in later on, again, that's 877-876-5227. Now, if you are a pet lover, as I am,
yes.
And if you have had animals that have become ill, I just got an email from a friend of mine this morning who has a very sick dog, and John Clifton is my guest, and his book, Sparky Fights Back, this is about a little dog who had a big battle against cancer. John, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, I'm so glad to be here. This is a first for me to be on exclusively internet radio, and I'm an internet person, so I feel like I'm right at home.
Oh, that's absolutely marvelous. Well, you know, people all over the world are listening to you, so it's so important, I think, your story, and I absolutely love Sparky. And, of course, we're going to let our listeners know how they can go to your website, et cetera, later on. So if you have that pad of paper and pen ready to go, you'll want to write the information down. John, you and your wife, Josie, have an absolute passion for your little friend, as so many, many of us do.
Yes.
And you never, in your wildest dreams, thought that an animal would have such a focus in your life. Well, having been around terriers, I know how they can grab you by your heart within, you know, a split second, and they've got you. You don't have them. You never own a terrier. They always own you.
That's correct.
And I would love you to tell, I'd love for you to tell your story about how Sparky came into your life, because I think it's so touching.
Well, you know, Sparky got lymphoma when he was 6 years old. Unfortunately, one half of all the dogs, in America at least, will get cancer. And nobody knows why they're getting more and more cancer, but it's a fact. I'm not making that up. I mean, it's from the Morris Animal Agency, Animal Foundation. Many sources have come up with about the same figure, from 45 to 50, 55%. One half of dogs, let's say, are going to get cancer. And when you think about that, I mean, if you have two dogs, the chances are one of them is going to get cancer. I just find that an astounding fact. I mean, I didn't know this before. But what are most dog owners doing about it? They're not aware of it, number one. And most of them would say they're doing nothing about it. And they're just saying, well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. You know? And I think that is, well, my mission is to try to get people to be prepared for that bridge when they come to it. And if they unfortunately do come to that bridge, that they'll be prepared for trying to cure the animal and doing the best that they can. You know, I think it's a tragedy that people they're not aware. You know, if it were cars or something like that, I always think of cars. You know, what if there was a study that said the automobiles, 50% of them were going to lose their tires and fall off, or they're going to crash or whatever. And people wouldn't say, well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. They would find out, you know, what models are there at risk and what safety measures can we take. Everybody would be up in arms about it. And when it comes to dogs, it just doesn't seem that people are aware. And that's, I think, part of my very passionate mission in life, is to get people aware of the problem and what they can do to prevent cancer in their dogs. And we have to educate ourselves. People have to educate themselves. If you have a dog and you're listening to me right now, you better learn about this now rather than later. You know, but most people, most caretakers of pets don't become aware of the dangers until it's too late. And, well, that's how it was. You mentioned my wife, Jose, and I, the co-authors of our book. That's how it was with us. Sparky came down with a deadly form of cancer back in the year 2000. And we were totally thrown. I mean, it was devastating. And that's what happens to everybody when this occurs, because it's the least thing you expect your dog to get. You know, they get diarrhea, they get this and that, you know. But
worms,
people don't expect them to get cancer, you know. I didn't even know dogs got cancer at the time that Sparky got cancer. I never thought of it, you know, let alone how to prevent it or how to fight it.
Okay,
so,
John, what kind of cancer did Sparky get?
He got lymphoma. Now, they say that's incurable in dogs, basically. Only a very small percentage of dogs live beyond a year, and a very small percentage live beyond 2 years. But without treatment, when they gave Sparky 4 to 6 weeks to live, and you know, we had grown to love this dog. He was 6 years old. He was our little boy, you know. And they said, well, 4 to 6 weeks. 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, it was just, you can't imagine what the effect that has on you. So we were both devastated, and he was only 6 years old, as I say, and we were totally unprepared for it because, well, our pets are our family, you know, and we were just clueless on what to do, how to proceed with this. And that's, by the way, one reason we wrote Sparky Fights Back is because there's so many others that are come to this point, and they just don't know what to do. And we wrote the book that we wish we had had when it happened to us. You know, all we could do at that time, we just could hug each other and cry a lot, and you know, we were just lost. We felt awful, but we didn't know what to do. And most of us don't know how much affection we really have for our pets until something like that happens.
Now, one of the things that you bring out in your book, you have these adorable, adorable photos throughout your book.
Oh, Sparky's a very photogenic. He's
He is a ham. He knows when he's on camera. I mean, that's just obvious.
Yeah.
He has just this persona. Of course, terriers, again, my husband and I, we just absolutely love terriers, and our favorites are the Scotties. And
well, they've got so much personality.
They do. They're just such independent, intelligent little critters.
Mm-hmm.
And with our Scotty, Howie,
he was
diagnosed with lymphoma, unknown to us. We did not have a clue. And it's terrible stuff. After reading your book, I was sharing the information with my husband, and we both were, you know, just looking at each other and saying, well, if we had known this, we would have been able to have recognized what the vets were not recognizing.
Right. You know, and so many
people. That was going
on. Yeah. And so many people automatically, dog gets cancer, put him down. You know, that's their automatic response, not knowing that there are a lot of things that you can do to, I mean, it's not necessarily a death sentence. And you can certainly prolong a dog's life. But it's just to automatically say that's the end. There was a lady that lives in our building. I'm in New York City, you know, an apartment situation here. But there's a lady in our building saying, you know, I gave your book to a friend of ours, and they were going to put their dog down. It had bone cancer, a different kind of cancer. And she said, and they were just all set to put the dog down. She says, and I gave him your book. And she said, you know, they decided instead to treat the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog was doing fine, you know. So,
well,
can't get a better review for a book than that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
To save a life, actually, you know. So
yes, and I think that many of the points of information that you give in your book, John, gives information to people to help recognize what the symptoms can be for a devastating situation like lymphoma. And I can tell you, our dog had been taken to vets, and we were always told our dog is overweight, he's eating too much food, which was not the case at all.
Right.
And it was too late when our Scotty went, and when we took him to the emergency room, the vets that were on duty there, when they did an X-ray, they said, this is what it is, and they knew that he didn't have very much time. And so
yes,
we
there's always that. I wasn't speaking of, you know, when it's absolutely, you know, way
no, you're talking
past
about
the time
paying
when
attention,
can be
and that's
done.
What I'm trying to emphasize.
Right.
Paying attention. And that's one of the gifts that your book gives, plus
yes,
many
well,
other things.
When we found out, we decided the first thing we would do is educate ourselves. I say I'm an Internet person. You know, I went on the Internet. We gave ourselves a crash course in chemotherapy, radiology, cancer, diets, and supplements, and holistic approaches to this thing, alternative medicine, veterinary medicine, you name it. And really, you know, I told you this before once, that what inspired us to do it was Sparky.
Mm-hmm.
Because the dog himself, I mean, let me put it this way. There were some very bad days in the beginning. And, you know, chemotherapy can be pretty bad on a dog. And sometimes, not as bad as people and not as bad as you might think, but there can be very bad days.
Mm-hmm.
And the poor little guy was so weak, he couldn't walk. He couldn't walk up one stair, you know, to get into our apartment, but just one step up. He couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just too weak. But he always tried. He was trying. He didn't give up and lie down and just roll down, roll over and say, I quit. You know, he just kept trying. And when he was, let's say he'd be nauseous, you know, and he wouldn't have any hunger at all, but he'd go to his bowl and he'd go through the motions and he would try his best to eat. I mean, it was, we saw this and we just took a lesson from that. We said, the boy, that's a mountain of courage in that little dog. And he inspired us to do everything, and we did. We did everything we could for him. And well, to make a long story short, he's now 11 years old. He's been cancer-free for over 6 years, and he's jumping around like a puppy. People don't believe he's almost 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They say he's a miracle, and he is a miracle. But, and this is what I always tell people about miracles, that miracles only come into your life if you first open the doors for them to pass through.
Mm-hmm.
If the doors aren't open, you're not going to get a miracle. There's no guarantee you will. But if the doors are closed, then what opens those doors? You know? Knowledge. That's what we did. We found everything we could out about the disease. And the second thing is hope. We never gave up. We never said, this is it. We're just going to throw in the towel. And we kept the vision in our minds of a good outcome. That's what hope. That's my definition of hope. To be able to visualize a good outcome, not just wishful thinking, but to practically sit down and say, this could be the outcome, and let's try to reach that, you know? So we learned so much. We developed an approach to fighting cancer that I think is unique. I've never heard anybody say it quite the way we say it, but for animal or human. You know,
mm-hmm.
In our book we call it shock and awe. It sounds like, you know, war. But that's what it is. It's war.
Yes, it is.
It goes beyond just going through the medical treatment. You know,
okay, John, we're going to be going to break for just a minute. We want
to
go into what you did nutritionally and otherwise. My guest today is John Clifton, his wife, Josie Clarence. The two of them have put this book together, and believe me, it is a labor of love, but they are very, very clear in the information they give. If you have animals and you want to know about cancer, you want to know about their little dog, the book is Sparky Fights Back. John himself is a theater composer, lyricist, and arranger. His wife is an author, so they made a wonderful team bringing together all of this information. We're going to be taking a break. And when we come back, we're going to tell you more about what you can be aware of regarding nutrition for your dog. And also, he has a wonderful site that you can go to, and there will be a very special gift that he'll have for you. So don't go away. We're going to be right back. Donna Sebo here, an hour of Mind Power. Don't go away.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God. God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and as we always tell you, it's an hour of mind power, and my very special guest today is John Clifton, and he and his wife, Josie Clarence, have put together this wonderful book, Sparky Fights Back, A Little Dog's Big Battle Against Cancer. Now, Sparky is an Australian Terrier, and before we went on the break, we were talking about the fact that there's chemotherapy, there's different things that you can do, and John and his wife have really dedicated a great deal of time, effort, and energy, and are still doing this, by the way, in researching ways to help people that have animals. John, I would like for you to talk about noni juice and the various dietary regimen you went through, because when a dog is going through chemo, and your dog went through chemo, and by the way, you say in your book, it's very expensive. It's anywhere, what, from $7,000 to $12,000 in cost for a treatment?
For chemotherapy?
I mean, you and your wife were dealing with some pretty high expenses.
Yes, yes, we were. We were fortunate that at the time I had a full-time job, and I was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a musician, and I was, I teach. And we were just at the point where we were getting Social Security. So I don't think I told you this before, but actually Social Security paid for this, because we were at that overlapping place where we were still working and still getting a full Social Security check. So it all went into Sparky. But, things happen that way in life. There seems to be always something there to provide if you, if you look for it when you need it.
Tell us about the noni juice and the dietary plan that
you found. Noni juice is one of many things we did. Noni juice is a juice that comes from, originally from Tahiti. The natives there, apparently for 1,000 years, have used it's from a tree. It's a fruit from a tree. A little bitter. It's not like a peach or a pear, but it's kind of a strange tasting thing. But they've used it to cure all sorts of things. Well, they did some studies on it. Not a lot of studies, but enough and enough anecdotal evidence to suggest that noni juice really does kill cancer cells. It's done that in mice and so forth, and can be mixed in with other juices to make it a little more palatable for a dog, but Sparky still gets it. That's one thing we did, and since we since Sparky went into remission, the year was up, the first year was up, and he was still in remission. We couldn't believe it. We've learned even a lot more than we did for Sparky. In other words, we do a newsletter, for example, and we do research all the time about things that we can use against cancer. There's a thing called artemisinin, which is a cancer fighter that comes from the wormwood tree. There is a spice called curcumin, that turmeric contains it, and it fights cancer. There are many, many cancer, fish oil, nuts, and beans. I mean, just regular foods that you wouldn't think of, broccoli, tomatoes with the lycopene, flaxseed oil with your omega-3s, garlic again, so many things. And we've been putting all this together, and you put an arsenal together of all this stuff. By the way, we do a newsletter about all this, and that's published every month. It's a free online newsletter, and I guess at the end we can tell everybody where to get it if they'd like to just sign up for it.
Oh, sure. You also had something very special you were going to be offering to my listeners as well regarding Sparky's top 10. But I did want to cover a point, too,
yes,
that you have in your book. And you make a statement, and you say cancer cells are not fed by fat. And
that's true.
That was such an interesting point of detail.
Yes, people think fat is bad, fat is bad. No, but when an animal, first of all, dogs require more fat than humans. You know, now, I'm not a veterinarian, but I've been studying this for 6 years and probably longer than the vets have been in vet school.
Mm-hmm.
But fat is a very good thing to feed a dog or a cat when they have cancer, because cancer cells can't use fat. They don't metabolize it. It doesn't make them grow. What they love are carbohydrates. Now, so what you want to do is feed a high-protein, high-fat diet. There are some even on the market that are prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Hill's ND diet and several others that are high in fat and protein, so that it will cut back on. You know, cancer cells need certain things to grow. Fat is one of them. And another thing is they need growth enzymes just the way human cells do. And so there are some substances that cut down on these enzymes. So if you can cut down on these growth enzymes, the cancer cells won't be able to grow. That's why I was mentioning curcumin. It has, it's in turmeric, which is a spice. You can buy it in any store. It has something called INSP5. It inhibits an enzyme that cancer cells love, right? And so does, so do nuts and beans, and that whole family of legumes, nuts,
mm-hmm,
beans, lentils. They have a COX-2 inhibitor. That's a growth inhibitor. So anything that is an enzyme that causes growth in the body, the cancer cell is going to need. And so if you can cut down on that or inhibit on that, that is a great thing. And some of it is so simple. Just adding this spice to food, you know, is one thing. Or giving the dog, Sparky gets nuts every night.
What kind?
Well, you know, I looked into that, and it kind of doesn't matter. Brazil nuts seem to be especially good, but anything, even lentils or peanuts are good. He gets almonds are rich in the enzyme inhibitors. You know, anything that starts with N, like nuts, would be beneficial.
Now, one of the things I do want to do is give out your website. We're going to give it out again.
Sure.
But your website is SparkyFightsBack.com.
Right.
SparkyFightsBack.com.
And that's all one word.
Yes.
And Sparky is with a Y. Some people spell it with an I-E. I said, no, S-P-A-R-K-Y. All one word, Sparky Fights Back.
Right,
yeah.
So it's Sparky Fights Back. Now, you have also on your website Sparky's Top 10. You have healthy foods for the dog. And
right.
You also say the unhealthy foods. Now, this you're offering free to my listeners.
Right.
What?
We give this chart out, a printed copy, when people buy our book.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought it would be a good idea when people are listening to us on the radio or on TV that we offer a chart that they can download. It's the very same one. And it's just it's a wonderful little thing to have to pin up on your wall in the kitchen. And, you know, it's good for people, too, because these things apply to people
mm-hmm.
for the most part.
Well, there's so much that we're learning about information. You had a wonderful vet, Dr. Post, that was really very supportive of you and was of a mindset that if you wanted to try anything, he was open to it.
Yes, he was. He wasn't saying he was, you know, he whatever works, you know, because, look, veterinarians or oncologists, veterinary oncologists, if a dog gets lymphoma, they cannot say to you, I'll cure this dog, or you have a good chance of a cure. They can't say it because it doesn't exist at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that the dog owner can do to augment, you know, to contribute, and I think it's 50%.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it takes about 50% of the medicine, the traditional medicine, and 50% of what the owner can do on his own. And that's the combination. That's your winning combination. You know, there's no guarantee of anything. But that's a good combination.
Well, I would agree with you. You bring out the point about chemotherapy, which Sparky did go through. And chemotherapy kills the cancer cells, and in time the body then becomes resistant to the chemo. And that's something that not a lot of people hear about people or animals. The body actually will become resistant to the chemo, and it will not be effective after a certain time.
Right. The body looks at it like the immune system just rejects the chemo in a certain way. It's too hard to explain in a few seconds, but that's basically what happens. The dog just, the chemo doesn't fight the cancer anymore because they develop a resistance to it as if it's a disease.
Right. Now, John, let's give out your website and where people go to that page where they can download the information
so that
they can use it. Also, give us the information about your newsletter.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, Donna. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted you to be sure to give out the information about your newsletter, too, because I know there's a lot of people that would just love to get it.
Well, the newsletter is a no-brainer. You just go to our website, and you'll see it staring you in the face, and you can just click on it, type in your email. It takes about 10 seconds, and you'll be on our email list for the newsletter. It's an online newsletter, and we're coming up on our one-year anniversary on the newsletter.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and we're growing and growing. I mean, more people sign up for it all the time, and it's totally free and no advertising or anything like that. It's totally free service we provide for people that want to know about this. And that, you just go to SparkyFightsBack.com. For the chart, the wall chart, it's the same thing except you add a little bit to the end. SparkyFightsBack.com/chart, the word chart, C-H-A-R-T.
And that's
a forward slash, the one that's with the question mark on your keyboard. You know,
right,
the
that's the forward
key.
Slash.
SparkyFightsBack.com/chart. And you can just click there, and you'll download, you can print it on a color printer or a black and white printer and put it on your wall, and it's very useful. And it has Sparky's top 10 unhealthy foods as well, with the, you know, what not to feed your dog.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very important. In fact, I'll just share with you quickly. I was reviewing some material this morning in preparation for the show, and there was a comment about people that had bought chocolate mulch.
Uh-huh.
And I've never heard of chocolate mulch, but it's all organic. And unaware, when the owners laid it down on the ground, the dog they had, which was a golden retriever, ate it. And
uh-oh,
the animal died from it because it
really?
Yes, it was.
The animals can get sick from chocolate.
A lot of things.
And die. I mean, people still feed their dog chocolate, ice cream and chocolate, and they don't realize. I mean, so that's one of the things on the list.
Yes, now my guest has been John Clifton. He's in New York. Go to his website, SparkyFightsBack.com. You can add a /chart and get his special publication regarding the 10 healthy items for dogs, 10 unhealthy items. John, it's been an absolute delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much.
I loved it. I loved you the first time being on with you, and this is just as pleasurable. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Donna Sebo here. We are going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away. We've got a lot more good things to share. Donna Sebo here. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo with the Hour of Mind Power program that's right here on BBS Radio every afternoon, Pacific Standard Time, from 3 to 4. And I want to invite you, if you would like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of insight, we have an international toll-free telephone number of 877-876-5227. Should you want to call in and chat with me, that's 877-876-5227. Or there's also a toll-free number of 888-268-4383. 888-268-4313. And that's not international, that's for in the U.S. only. 888-268-4313. I want to let you know about my guests that are coming up for, let's say, tomorrow and well, as well as next week. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Anna Maravellis. We're going to be talking about how to overcome workplace conflict. There's so many of you out there that are dealing with issues in your working environment, and you're just wondering, what in the world? What options do you have? How can you handle these uncomfortable situations? Well, Anna has some wonderful suggestions. And then next week on Monday, we're going to be talking with Michelle Davis. We're going to be talking about a wonderful horse. His name was Magical Mac, and it's about her story of finding this horse and then working with this animal that did a phenomenal job of transforming children's lives. I know you're just going to love it. And then we've got Milo Sindahl, Sink or Swim. Sounds like a rather dramatic title, and it really is, but it's relating to something you wouldn't expect, and that is all about getting a new job, doing the job, and being able to get through those first 12 weeks without feeling overly stressed about it. Then we're going to be talking with Gina Grip. She is going to be talking about a wonderful cookbook put out by a woman who has, well, she lost over 100 pounds. It's called Baking with Splenda. And this is if you have a sweet tooth. Boy, you're going to want to know about this. And then also we're going to be talking with Carol Frank. And this book is fascinating. The title of it is Do As I Say, Not As I Did. Carol did quite a few interviews with people from various areas of business experience, and she brings those stories into this wonderful publication because it's good to know what other people have gone through. And maybe if you're an entrepreneur, you would find this most interesting because it will enable you to see how you can avoid some of the pitfalls that other people have gone through. And we've got so many other wonderful guests coming up. Now, be sure you check our website, bbsradio.com. You'll find a listing of the hosts, and it's on the right side of the screen. Go down to the Donna Sebo Show, and you'll be able to get a readout of the guests that are coming up. And this is always good because you can tell your friends about it, tune into it, and remember that these shows are also going to be archived on the website as well so that you can listen to them at your listening convenience. But when you have that schedule, it's really a very good thing to be aware of. Now, I wanted to share with you a couple of thoughts. And by the way, if you want to call in and chat with me, want me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, give me a buzz, 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, or 888-268-4313, and I'll be glad to do it. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and, of course, I like to know where you're calling from, what part of the country. Georgette Mosbacher. She is a president, CEO, and chairwoman of a very, very well-known cosmetic company, and she found success in the business world by applying some particular principles that for her have been very significant. And I thought that I would share some of them with you. There's six of them here, and the first one is tenacity. Tenacity. She said, you can't be afraid of failure because you're going to fall into some potholes. You can't be afraid of failure because you're going to fall into some potholes. Failure is just a detour sign. Take it as a lesson and move on. And that is so true. I've yet to meet a successful person that hasn't encountered potholes in life. They usually figure out how to grow out of them. Some of those potholes are pretty deep. If you're lucky, they're shallow. But sometimes you get into some that are really deep. So you have to figure out how you're going to climb your way out of them, fill them up. If you're going to be going over the same road again and again, you want to make sure that you get rid of those potholes and you understand how they got there in the first place and then move on to something else. She said, beware of well-meaning people. There are so many individuals out there in the world who want to tell you what you can and can't do. And if you are an entrepreneur, if you're someone that has a special dream, you have to listen to your inner voice, and that inner voice should be a healthy one. I can't tell you how easy it is for people to tell you how is it you can fail. They will be able to give you 10,000,001 reasons why you cannot be successful. And many times when people do that, sometimes it's well-intentioned. They don't want you to go through their mistakes. They don't want you to go through their heartbreak. But if you're not careful, you're going to get stuck in their mental stuff. And it's like a super glue, and you'll never, ever do anything. You'll be so afraid of, gee, not making it, or what if this happens, or what if that happens. And somewhere you have to really be able to hear what's calling to you and what it is you need to do. And you may have to take a route that's a little bit slow. So what? Do what you know you need to do for yourself. Be honest with yourself. It's always good, by the way, to have those persons who can be very constructive mentors for you and to utilize them. If people criticize you or they notice certain things or not in particular positioning as they should be, all right, listen. But you are the one. You're the one that's going to make the ultimate choice. And if you really believe in who you are and what you want to do, and it really comes from the inner part of you, then go for it. But be willing also, as I mentioned, to listen to other people that maybe have walked the same walk before, because they often like to share. Believe it or not, successful people do like to share what they've been through, because they know when they've gone through their trials and tribulation how much misery and discomfort they went through. And they don't want you to have to go through that. So be willing to listen, because it can save you a lot of heartache. Also, when you're thinking, and I liked Georgette's attitude about this, she said, think on a global level. There is so much going on in the business world where there's consolidation here, consolidation there. And people who are entrepreneurs need to think beyond the obvious markets. You might have something like one woman I know who is an exquisite artist. She ended up finding her own particular niche as an artist. In a million years, she never thought she was going to end up doing it, and she was decorating cakes. Do you know she charges $10,000 for her cakes and more? They are masterpieces. You don't even want to cut into them. They are so absolutely gorgeous. Well, she found that she could be an artist and be an exquisite one, and she could do it well. But it was in decorating of cakes. She entered into an arena just out of a fluke, supposedly. It was making a cake for a birthday party for a friend, and she did such a creative job with it, and her friend said, gee, would you make one for my husband? And that began a cycle of interaction with other people, and she said, people like this. I'm going to try this on a part-time basis. And then it ended up being a full-blown business that is going strong today. Also, speak up. Know who to ask, when to ask, and how to ask. Very important to open your mouth and ask questions. Don't ever be afraid of doing that or ever think you're stupid because you do it. I think it's more so upsetting to me. People say, well, that's such a stupid question. Look, if you're asking a question, it means you need information. Go ahead and ask the question. If someone makes that kind of a derogatory remark to you, ignore them. Move on to somebody else that's going to respect your willingness to inquire and your willingness to learn. And as an entrepreneur, you have to be patient with yourself. You really do. You have to realize that this is not a perfect world. You are not going to find everything going perfectly all the time. You may have situations come up with family. You might have situations come up with suppliers. You might have situations come up financially. This is life. This is what happens. But you know what, as an entrepreneur, you learn? You learn how to be resilient. You learn how to be able to take something that seemingly is working against you and use it to your advantage. And above all, she says, stay motivated. And instead of asking yourself, am I doing it right, ask yourself, am I doing it? Sometimes we get so intellectual, we intellectualize days, weeks, months, years out of our lives. And then we go, gee, I wish I had done that. Somewhere along the line, you have to realize you're the one that has to be self-motivated. Don't expect the world to walk up to your door and say, hey, I'm waiting for you. No. As an entrepreneur, it has to come from inside of you. You have to have that love, that passion, that feeling that what you've got to offer is so special. Just like my guest, John. John and his wife never dreamed that a little Australian terrier would come into their life, number one, and then bring into their life something that was devastating, cancer, And John and his wife both have had experience with it, and they've turned this experience into something that's benefiting other people's lives. And it's totally changed their life, all because of this little tiny terrier named Sparky. It's wonderful. Remember, you make a difference. You have an idea, you have a concept. You are a very special person, a very unique individual. There's nobody else like you on this planet. And aren't you glad? You want to be able to give your gift of who you are to this world that we live in because it needs it. We need you. We need your brightness, your enthusiasm. We need your stories. We need to be able to learn from you. And that's part of what this show is all about. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break for a moment. Write down these telephone numbers should you want to call in, 877-876-5227 or 888-268-4313. When we come back, I'm going to share some stories about some animal mommies. I know Mother's Day is just a few days away. Well, animals can be mommies too. So we'll be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo with the Hour of Mind Power. Be sure to make note that we're on every afternoon Pacific Standard Time from 3 to 4. And also the shows will be archived for you at a later date so you can view them whenever you desire to do that. And tell your friends about the show and let them know they can also call in. And if they'd like to have a free reading on the air, this is something I'm happy to do for them. And they can just call into the number 877-876-5227. Or 888-268-4313. I wanted to share with you a cute story from Bob Phillips. And by the way, if you want to send me a story, if you've got a recipe, if there's anything you'd like to share with me, send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com. That's Delphi, D-E-L-P-H-I, international, the whole word, two I's, back to back, .com. And you can send me, if you have some special stories or anything else, be sure you do that. This is about a little girl named Brianna. And her parents were so concerned about her because she never talked. She would laugh and would occasionally sigh, but she never made a sound beyond that. Now, they would take her in to a pediatrician and would ask about this. They said, you know, she never talks. She does not speak at all. The pediatrician said, well, I've checked her out. She's absolutely fine. And what I think is that when Brianna's ready to talk, she will do exactly that. Don't worry about it. There's nothing wrong with her. Well, her parents were very troubled when Brianna turned 4 years of age and her birthday came and went. Not one comment was made. Not one word was uttered by this very bright and happy little girl. However, that changed one morning. It was breakfast. And Mom served breakfast. Brianna came to the table, and she took a bite, and she said very clearly, yuck, these eggs are cold. Well, Mom and Dad, sitting at the table, looked at each other. They were totally shocked, because she's never, ever said a word before. And they just started laughing, absolutely, just were amazed. Then her dad was laughing and said to her, you can talk. And he picked her up out of the chair and just was so happy over the fact that there was nothing wrong with his daughter, that she actually could talk. And then he stopped and he said, well, wait a minute. why haven't you said anything before now? And she looked at her daddy and she said, until now, things have been just fine. So, cold eggs did it for Brianna, first thing in the morning. Anyway, I wanted to share that cute little story with you. Also, I wanted to tell you that if ever you start griping about the weather, or you're moaning and groaning about how long it takes you to get somewhere, or how tired you might be, you want to just put these two words in front of you somewhere. Actually, they're two names. It's Jordan Hansen. Jordan Hansen. Why? Because on June the 10th, Jordan Hansen and three of his friends are going to attempt to row a 29-foot boat 3,100 miles across the Atlantic Ocean from New York Harbor to Falmouth, England, braving sun, rain, fog, storms, icebergs, and waves in the Atlantic Ocean 4's rowing race. Now, this is quite a race. And I'm looking at these four young men, and I'm looking at the boat that they have, and they hardly have any protection from the elements. But they have this good-sized boat, and again, it's 29 feet long, and the ends have something of a cover over them, but it's not very much. And out in the Atlantic, you can encounter some pretty, pretty brisk experiences with weather. Now, who are these young men? It's Jordan Hansen, 23, Dylan LaValle, 23, Greg Spooner, 26, and Brad Vickers, who's 23, and all are rowing teammates from Washington State's University of Puget Sound. They hope to be the first American team of rowers to cross the North Atlantic Ocean and the first American team to win a premier international ocean rowing race. Now, they're going to do the race this way. They'll be rowing two at a time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and these four young men say they're performing this ultimate test of mental and physical strength and endurance for glory, for challenge, for adventure, and to raise money for the American Lung Association as a tribute to Hansen's father, who died from an asthma attack in 1985. And Jordan Hansen says, we don't get any money in this race. The rewards lie in the challenge and the competition. And they have a website. If you'd like to go check all of this out, you can go to OarNorthwest.com. That's O-A-R. Northwest.com. What an incredible journey these four young men are going to have, and I certainly wish them well, because the Atlantic is just a phenomenal place. Well, quickly, because I know we're almost out of time here, and I wanted to share with you a couple of stories about animal mummies, and these are unique situations with animal, and I'm going to just be able to, I think, share one, maybe two with you. There was a tortoise that cuddled a hippo. Unbelievable. You ought to see the photograph that I have in front of me. Hippo was really in a bad way after the tsunami swept him down a river along the Kenyan coast. Now, Owen is the name of the hippo, and he weighs about 650 pounds. He was just a baby, and hippo babies stay by their moms for 4 years. And by the time the rangers brought him into the zoological park, he was frantic for his mom. And he trotted right up to a giant gray tortoise. Yes, a giant gray tortoise. Now, the tortoise's name is Emzi, and she's 130 years old. Now, her name is Swahili for old man. Now, she hissed at this little hippo, but the little guy needed him, and soon the two were snuggling and roaming the preserve together. Now, eventually, Owen is going to be with some other hippos. Meanwhile, MZ seems very happy to be his mother, and that is a real unusual situation. And there's so many other cute things that I could share with you, but I just thought I would share that with you since Mom's Day is coming up, and I know that there are so many of you out there that are going to be celebrating that wonderful holiday, and we are almost out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Every day, Monday through Friday, from 3 to 4 in the afternoon, I'm here to share with you mind power on so many different levels. And I invite you to tell your friends, I invite you to join me. And also remember, you can always interact with me on the air if you so desire. You are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's so important to remember that right here, right now, is the right place for you to be. And no matter where you go from this moment in this day, you're always going to carry the best of who you are with you. Forget about the worst. Just carry the best and let it shine. Donna Sebo here. I'll be talking with you tomorrow. Don't forget my guest, who is going to be with us, and that is Anna Maravellis, so that we'll learn how to work in a workplace area, having more harmony than we ever thought we could enjoy. Donna Sebo, bye for now. Talk with you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.